am Dance Hayley, and I'm here with Ilo Lavender.
Could you tell me a bit first how you got involved with Mind Fit State?
When I was 5 or 6, I think, ish, young, Liz Lavender, ran away with the circus. Got with Chris Hills, my brother's dad, and we joined Circus Burlesque. Years, and then that all sort of wrapped up Absurdicus, maybe Varus, and then eventually came to No Fit State and sort of stayed there.
Yeah, very much No Fit State family.
Yeah. Been here, done that, sort of grown up.
What roles have you had, working roles within the company
since
childhood, I guess?
So in sort of reverse order, set builder, set maker, tent crew, general crew, and then I suppose just, selling popcorn and being a kid and eating the popcorn. And first two jobs were collecting water butts, filling water butts for people, 50p each, and clearing Addy's truck for the money I found on the floor. Which is sometimes not very lucrative. I think she used to tidy up a little bit first. And I think that was about it, really. It was mostly the fill. I remember used to do quite well filling water butts.
So
generally just being a kid, you know, like I suppose it was quite a sort of moment when certain, I mean, there's kids that were older than me in various circuses and things, and you remember that first time when you were allowed to help with the tent. And that was quite cool. First, carrying stuff, and then you were allowed to use a sledgehammer, and then you'd realise how hard it was. And everyone would laugh at you. Mm-hmm. You'd hit your shins and miss the stakes and snap handles. And then I suppose you sort of progress as you get older and more physical. I was in one of the shows with Circus Burlesque, where the kids were sort of in the shows on and off. And then we used to run circus skills workshops with No Fit State as the, like, the family show, the old school family show, the theatre circus type thing. We used to run circus skills workshops. We used to do that as well.
Great.
So
broad education.
Yeah, education in life. Never really done any performing in it.
Not inspired to become a performer.
It was so uncool when you're a teenager and you're running a family show and it's all juggling and everyone juggles and you're like, so you don't want to juggle. And then suddenly you realise actually it was quite cool. But sort of missed the boat, I suppose.
Yeah. So now it's set design.
Yeah, welder. I'm a sort of metal worker. So it's sort of all the metal work. Now it tends to be just like 2 months a year, a couple of months a year, putting a build together and then family means I don't generally really tour or anything these days like that.
And how about your fondest memories? What do you take most?
Fondest memories?
Yes.
I don't really know. It's hard to remember sort of like a lifetime of very vague memories. So playing in the tent as a kid, swinging on the ropes. I used to enjoy teaching the kids. Other kids, I suppose, of the same age at that time, all the, you know, have unicycled stuff. Being let loose at festivals on your unicycles and sort of charging off around the festival site and seeing whether you get all the way around or anything like that in one go and stuff. Don't know. Playing at Treasure Island. I don't really know. And some of the really like hard graft stuff that, like, in hindsight is quite fun. But at the time wasn't, you know, the sort of back-breaking, staying up all night building things and all of that, which at the time is sort of not fun or fond memory, but once you passed it, you sort of look back and go, yeah, I did that, survived.
Plenty of rewarding experiences then.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is all, you know, coming back, as I do once or twice a year, seeing everyone again, you know, it's like sort of extended family. It's like just sort of certain people you only really see once or twice a year. And it doesn't feel like it's been a year, but it's quite nice just to sort of, yeah, I don't know. And that sort of just, I think that sort of, the mass of people, the extended family, the sort of, all of that, the sort of feeling, you know, like you're all together, you're all part of something, you know these people, and you've known them for, you know, all that sort of thing, that sort of, the group.
Yeah, group support.
The sort of,
and
the beast that is, you know, everything that goes with that, it's its own thing, isn't it? And everyone's sort of part of it, and I quite like that. Or, you know.
And has it taken you? It's taken you out of the country, Laura?
Yeah.
Toured out of the country.
Yeah.
How
mostly
was that?
France.
Which shows were they involved?
Which shows were they? More recently, we went to Rebuild in Rebuild. That was Barricade. And that was great. That was amazing. That was so well funded, and so well fed, and so well watered and looked after. But I suppose cause I didn't really do much touring. I don't generally do, you know, like I've just been to Marseille and stuff, and I didn't, you know, or didn't get to go to Canada or Australia or anything like that.
What do you do when you're not on tour or not working with No Fit Stay?
Have a life. I've got two kids at the moment, they're 4 and nearly 2. Partner, we live variously in a truck or in a boat. I'm a boat builder and welder. I make stuff mostly.
Okay.
Mostly making stuff. Yeah.
And do your children get involved with the No Fit Stay activities?
A little bit. I'd like them to get more, really. But I think, yeah, so not enough. Not enough. It's still quite new and exciting for them when they do come. But it's as much, it's basically, it's like we've got home and a life, and sort of Claire is not circus, hasn't done circus, so it's, and when everyone's working, you know, I'm normally here for the builds and things, so everyone's working, everyone's busy, you're stuck somewhere with, you know, and it's sort of like, it's not really, it's just boring, I think, boring and not feeling part of it when you're just there as a parent and after kids, so it sort of tends to be just me at the moment that comes up.
Okay.
It's a bit of a shame because I think they're missing something. Not missing something, but it's a,
yeah, you are.
I feel like it's part of my life, and I feel like it'd be good if it was part of their life too, because it's a cool thing. You know,
absolutely.
In fact, I think that Kit, well, it's not quite, but of the circus of No Fit State, I suppose we've got sort of you know, the founding people and the people who've done it old school, and then I suppose I grew up here, and Charlie and Leah and Blaze and Winston and all the sort of people, the kids who grew up with it, and Kit was the first kid born to us lot, so he could be the
third generation,
you know, the first of the, and if he, you know, if he came into it like that, I think it'd be quite cool, really. Because he could be quite, you know,
quite a legacy,
yeah,
for your mum, that would,
yeah,
be also, wouldn't,
yeah,
it? Yeah.
So, you know, we've done, I think we've done it long enough to sort of to stick. We'll see. Yeah.
And for yourself, then, how did your education run, you know, conventional education run, whilst you were growing up?
We missed a lot. Didn't seem to suffer too badly, apart from the fact that school was really dull. And, well, Liz used to run the school in Circus Burlesque. I don't actually ever remember doing any schooling. We used to have a tent that was called the school. There was lots of kids, but I don't remember anyone doing any school. I suppose you just learn life. You just learn stuff. You just, you know, you just, that's what I remember. I remember every now and again being sat down and forced to do some work, but it being so dull and boring and not really caring. But I don't know. We sort of got over. I don't know. I didn't really. We definitely missed quite a lot of school. You know. I didn't notice it, but all sort of mates at school were like, you get to go off all the time. But I think all the kids and all the people I know have grown up with it learn more like that than,
yeah,
you know, much more.
And you followed the trade, it's something you've taken on board yourself.
So. Yeah, and you know, it's something that I think anyone wouldn't like it. So if the thing they do after, you know, when they go out with their job, their career, whatever, fit, then I can't see that they wouldn't want to stay with it. But apart from the fact it's mad and it's not, what's the word, you know, it's seasonal and it's all the other things that are a pain in the arse. But I don't know. No, you used to get in all sorts of trouble. You used to get taken a piss out at school, obviously.
For being different.
For being, you know, living a travelling lifestyle, whatever. So not being there, all that sort of stuff. But get over it.
What's your most humorous memory? What is this? Do you have a long term memory that sticks in your mind?
No, all sorts, probably most of which have probably already been recounted, actually. The sort of classic, which is not so much the memory, it's just one of those old stories that just goes round forever, about Charlie Munston burying the keys from Merck. And it was the treasure, you know. I don't really know. Loads of stuff, but it normally always comes out, just, you know, it's all like when you remember at the time, recount some funny, stupid story about something. John driving into a lamppost, flattening the Merc. I don't know, really. I don't know, Ali dancing in a tutu. Reaching for bags of crisps and getting pegs clipped to her. I don't know, really. I just find it quite funny. It probably wasn't very funny, but I used to find it quite funny. Mark Moreau climbing the rope in a blue leotard. That was always quite funny. But it wasn't supposed to be funny.
And you must have a story of disaster.
I drove a forklift into a bit of steel deck and sent it on to Tom's bonnet. Because he pressed the button that did crabbing rather than steering. But he told me to do it, so that's fine. Trying to keep the tent up at Barry in the storm. He spent all night putting stakes in after a bloody 2 weeks of ridiculous hours. And then sort of looking at it in the morning and sort of like the tent had moved a foot or two, just gradually overnight, the whole lot had just pulled. And then that night, sort of going, oh fuck it, Tom, just let it fall down and we'll just get the insurance money for it. And Tom goes, it's not insured. And you're like, oh shit, okay. Keep putting stakes in. I don't know, swiping the Merc into one of the Arctics whilst someone was supposed to be seeing me back. And I haven't got my 7.5-ton license. It was quite funny, a funny memory, driving the towers, the Bianco towers, down the hill, turning them into trailers and driving them down around through the Eden Project at night. Came down to site, was quite funny. And Tom decided that he was a really good driver and taking out all sorts of fence posts and things on the way down.
Creating deer.
Yeah, and riding them, and that was quite funny. Yeah, all sorts of fucking disasters.
Yeah.
Things breaking and things.
Usually involving vehicles.
Leaving Kirsty in London whilst we drove to Birmingham, I think, I can't remember.
Kirsty's your dog.
Kirsty was our dog, yeah. I was quite young, but I remember we got quite a long way before we realised Kirsty wasn't with us in our old truck, and we had to drive back to London to find her. Was quite bad. Various blowouts on the motorway after long journeys to Scotland, and I don't know. there's always stuff that goes wrong in the caravans disappearing on the motorway. Yeah, someone drove down, I can't remember who it was or where it was, it might have even been an island. Got there and there wasn't a caravan on the back. I'm like, oh, where did the caravan go? And it just disappeared somewhere on the motorway.
Was it found?
I don't know. I don't know whether anyone wanted to go back and find it.
Just forget that one.
You've got anything valuable in there? No. Right, okay, well, I think we'll just ignore that one. Yeah, I can't think of anything. Cable snap. I'm trying to pull a... Where is that? That was like one of the really old rehearsals and a cable snapped and did a windscreen in. Trying to winch a truck out of the mud. Nearly... I can't remember who was driving. Was it Tim or was it Chris? I can't remember someone was driving. Took the... Yeah. Wow. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty grim times in the mud. What's that? When was that? Where was that? But yeah, I can't remember where it was. Anyway. I think there's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, plenty. Well, no one's died.
No one's ended up, you know, I don't think anyway, completely.
No, near misses.
Near misses.
Yeah.
Sort of moderate injuries, but no one's really copped it, have they?
No, it's lucky, isn't
touch wood.
Yeah.
We're much more safety conscious now.
And from now on, then, you, as far as you can see, you remain... A no fit stater.
Yeah. And who knows in what sort of form, I guess, continuing building stuff, but I'd quite like to do bits of tours again, maybe. I'd like to do the exciting jobs. I'd like to go to Canada, Australia.
You'll have to start waving your passport. It's
time to go and sort of go and get a job somewhere else, so we can't do it. I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully.